Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Oi, the boys on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes tales are quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Such, your one-stop destination for footy news and such. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Well, yes, Footy Prime's news and such. The end of a wonderful week. Crazy week in the football world, and it's about to get crazier. Sharman here, Wong is here, Brennan, Forrest, Dunlop. I tell you, Thursday, fellas, was nuts. Huge win for Everton. They're now safe in the Premier League, unlike the fan who goaded Patrick Vieira. We'll get to that later today. But as I mentioned, it's a final weekend of domestic European football. And each of us will tell what storyline is the top of our sticky notes this weekend. We'll have footy picks. Speaking of which, everyone, it's a brave new world in sports and sports gambling across Ontario. And we have taken full advantage because we're all just mercenaries here on Footy Prime. But seriously, as you know, we partner with Torstar and the brand new North Star Bets. Now, we're not ones for corporate spiel, but we did think there's real interest in this brave new world. So we thought we'd invite someone onto the show to explain what all this means. Dante Anderson has a really cool name. He's also VP of marketing for North Star Gaming. Dante, welcome to Footy Prime. You're a brave man.
Thank you for having me here.
All right, so football, soccer, and gambling, betting, they've been together forever, as Rick Astley once said. How important is it to the success of not just North Star, but for betting in general in this part of Canada?
Well, I mean, like you said, it's a huge part of the industry. You know, I think especially now, as we look ahead to, you know, what's going on in Europe, Premier League coming up to a conclusion. We've got World Cup around the corner. The excitement's building, especially in Canada with Team Canada making it through. It's just totally woven into the fabric of this industry. And, you know, we're really excited to see the momentum pick up over the next couple of months as we lead up to the World Cup, the big show.
Dante, you do have a great name. You sound like it could be a fullback. I think if Jimmy saw a young player named Dante Anderson coming around, I think he's given him a look a little earlier than some of the others.
I would wear his jersey. Yeah.
Well, I did used to play football, so you know I've got some of that in my blood.
Okay. So has that carried over then into your love of gaming with football? Is there one league that you've tracked more than the others, or from a professional perspective, the action that you enjoy tracking maybe more than others?
Well, you know what? I have to admit, I'm more of an esports fan than anything else. So it's a little bit off the beaten path, but it's right up there with the best of the best as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Dante, let me ask you something about, you know, European football, soccer, and gambling in North America. Is it true that for you guys and a company in gambling, that the time change, the time zone being what it is in the morning on the Saturdays in Eastern Canada, nothing else really going on in North America at that time, does that help your business?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. I mean, betting doesn't stop. It is a global phenomenon in terms of, you know, betting opportunities for many of us. I'm sure you can recall during the pandemic when there weren't a whole lot of sports available. There were some really, really obscure things coming out of the woodwork. And betting happens all the time.
That Belarusian Premier League just made a killing. The whole world.
Oh, yeah.
Ruined thousands of millions of rubles on the Belarusian Premier League.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dante, I've got a question as well. And it's, you know, for those individuals that are just getting into betting and online and want a better understanding, especially for myself as well. You know, I've always enjoyed having a little bet here and there, but with these apps and everything now today, how easy is it to use for just the average guy that's getting used to this and just first timers?
I mean, to be honest, it varies. There are some books that make it very easy and some books that are a lot more intimidating. I mean, one of the big focuses in the industry is just educating people, making it easy to place your first bet, not overcomplicating it, removing those intimidation barriers. You know, I always relate it to like going to the horse track. You know, like for an average person going to the horse track, it's like, what is going on? And that can be the case a lot of the time with sports betting too. One of the things about our book is, you know, we've really made an effort to build this thing from the ground up and put the customer first in terms of the design of our interface. It is as simple as you need it to be for the average player and as advanced as you need it to be for the more advanced player and the more avid bettor.
So I guess my question then is, that's one benefit. What are some other benefits of North Star Bets? Why North Star Bets? I've been inundated with all kinds of spots across the board. Why North Star Bets? I know for us, why North Star Bets? We love North Star Bets.
We love you too.
Agreed. Why choose? And I know you just said the bar is a little, you know, it's straightforward and all. Because of the platform, UX, what other reasons?
Well, I mean, like what I would say and start with is like we put this thing together from the ground up. It is custom built. We really leaned into what Ontarians are looking for. And we really wanted to just bring the best of the best together in one platform. We are working with a sports book provider that offers world-class experiences. We are working with a casino provider that offers world-class casino experiences and live dealer experience. And one of our really, really unique differentiators is that on our platform, we have this section called Sports Insights. And these aren't just run-of-the-mill, basic, you know, stats and whatnot. This is content written by a local team that is part of North Star Bets. These are sports experts and analysts that come from the industry with a deep pedigree in analyzing sports. And they're pumping out real-time content every single day to make the experience a lot more engaging for our users and to help our players inform their bets. You know, I've been in this industry for quite some time, and this is what players are looking for. It's one place to go for all your information, one click away from the bet. And there are very few brands in this industry that are doing it the way that we are. So, you know, we're really, really proud to have that that distinct feature and make it easy.
So Dante, for those listening right now who, you know, they respect what we do on Footy Prime so much, they listen to us and they're at the point now where they want to gamble and stake some money that we've recommended and advised them to do. Where do they go and where do they learn more about North Star Bets?
So I would encourage your players to just get on the platform, you know, look around. We do have a special link set up for your fans, footy.northstarbets.ca. Visit us there. and that's where they can start their journey with us. You know, one of the things I would highlight, and you know, for your fans, it is just flooring how many soccer bets we have available on North Star Bets. We have, I was looking earlier today at the platform, we have 73,000 soccer bets available. The experience to, you know, navigate it is really easy. It's organized by country. You can find every single league you're looking for. And, you know, while we tend to specialize in hockey, the number of soccer bets that we have, this is like 20 times more than any other sport that we offer. So if you are looking for soccer, this is the place to be. You know, you want to bet on the Premier League coming up, that's great. If you want to bet on something more obscure, like if you guys have some Ryan Reynolds fans and they want to bet on Wrexham AFC, we've got that too. And so, you know, it's all there, and it's all, you know, easy and sleek and simple to access.
Dante, can we get it up there as well that Dunlop couldn't score a penalty on me when did 10 shots?
Well, could he?
Because I would like that. Can we get that set up?
That's a great idea. I want your cappers to put that together. Yeah.
Yes,
we're going to do a big,
yes. I would encourage you to contact our customer service, and they will make a market for you.
I want that in there. Dunlop will not score a penalty on Jimmy Brennan.
Yeah, I want to see those promotions
with 10 sure. shots.
In that video, we got to do that. And Dante, can I just say, I don't know, I know you're the marketing guy, and if I don't know if this is you specifically, but there's been a lot of commercials, and I tell you, the North Star Bet one is the best looking one. Right away, I'm like, I was sucked into it. You know, well, I wasn't tuning out like some of the other ones. It's
this and
you're making me blush now.
this and back. I saw a tweet someone saying that Sportsnet were furious because their betting commercials was broken up by hockey this week, and it drove them crazy. It's wall to wall right now. It's really really changing the whole sports space.
It really is. It's a competitive landscape. You know, but for the customer, like the market going legal, and the choices that they have available to them now, it really has been a long time coming for this transformation to happen.
Is there end game live betting as well, Dante?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You want parlays, props, in game live. We've got it all.
Well, Dante, good luck with everything. You know, our footy picks segment every Friday is one of the most fun parts, I think, of our show. We're going to try and expand it in the coming weeks and months as well. So thanks so much. Good luck. And let's make some money.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, that buddy. Is Dante Anderson, sure, VP of Marketing at North Star Bets and Gaming. All right, fellas. You know, Craig, you're proud of me, actually. I put some money into my account, and and back in there, pal, with those $1 bets.
Oh, yeah. Well done. So how much did you put in your account? 20 bucks?
No, I put 50 in there.
And, oh, another 50.
It's going to last me right, I think, through until the World Cup, ideally. I'm going to lean heavy on MLS this summer. And I've got a few bucks maybe on this Sunday's action in the Premier League. Because,
you're going to lose it all on snooker.
MLS is a tricky league to bet. And for the longest time, I think that the handicappers didn't, you know, they're not as sharp on the lines as they are with the Premier League. When you look at the Premier League, you're probably not too surprised when you see Premier League lines, right? Like Chelsea against Crystal Palace, Chelsea -500. Rarely are you kind of stunned when you see the number. I think it just took the handicappers in Vegas in particular longer to figure out the swings in MLS, but also much like baseball, I think MLS is just a bit less predictable. You know, how many times do we see the best team in the league, be it TFC in that 2017 season, and, you know, go until the 85th minute before they find that goal, right? And I think that the cappers have found it harder to learn to sharpen those lines. So there's a lot of value in MLS if you're on the right side of it.
Well, for example, today, it's a TFC, DC United, both teams to score and are trying to win, plus 700. Mm-hmm. That's pretty tempting, isn't it? Don't you think?
73,000 temptations, Dante just told us, buddy.
Hey, let's just go back there, Dunlop, because you got all the lingo, and I don't know the lingo.
Okay,
tell me the lines and the handicaps, and what are you talking about right now?
So the capper is someone who would set the line, right? So Dante, when Dante joked that we should call customer service, he's got a team of people and that, you know, set the line. And they come up with that number based off of a couple of main things. One, how much action they think that they'll attract. That also is why you look at England, where the favorites against Italy in the European Championship final. The reason being, probably more so than the game itself, was they knew they were going to attract a lot more money on England. There's just much more English bettors, right? Yeah. So to protect themselves as a book, they make that line a bit more expensive. But it still has to be realistic in case England won, right? Yeah. So that's why there's a whole like team of cappers in setting that, and why it's a big industry. And when there's so many books, this is the cool thing, is especially with in-game, with live in-game betting, you'll notice that the line may look a little different because it's literally one person setting it. So one person is watching Stoke and Brighton on the in-game and changing that number. Or one person, I should have given Everton as the example. Yeah. And Sharman, I would have loved to see when they're down 2-0 to Crystal Palace, what that Everton to win was. At that moment, because there was still so much time left in the game, it would have been, you know, a good number, but it might have only been plus 700.
And when you bet, and it varies during the game, is that right?
The line will change.
Yeah. But when you bet, that number that you bet at stays.
Is that correct? You're locked in at that.
You can, on occasion, cash out. They might give you an option to cash out at a lesser amount, depending on what's happening. And that's what they get me, Craig. 75 cents. I'm done.
Sharman is right. Yes, to complicate the education a little bit. Yes, cash out is definitely an option. But if you took, as soon as Crystal Palace scored that second, and Everton to win, I don't know what the line was. I was watching Villa at the time, but let's say it was plus 700. As the game went on, you locked in at that. As the game went on, before Everton scored the first one, that number would have grown because there was less time for them to score three goals to come back. So that's what makes in-game so intriguing. And I've been very lucky. Arsenal used to do this all the time. Back like, I'm talking 12 years ago, Charms, when we were doing the footy show and on Hardcore Sports Radio. I loved when Arsenal conceded at some point in the second half because they had a great chance to come back and win. And I've got quite a few great stories, but we all have some good beats.
Okay, so I'm down with the lingo now. I'm down with the lingo.
Well, maybe education will continue each week. But speaking of Everton, another pitch invasion. Lots of pitch invasions this past week. They're back in vogue, boys, and they're not going down very well. We spoke about Billy Sharp in the last podcast. Did you see Patrick Vieira having a go at that idiot who got in his face and just scythed him down? I mean, all joking aside, I know the FA's come out today with a statement admonishing it and saying it cannot continue. All joking aside, I mean, this at some point, something very bad is going to happen. They've got to learn to control this. I understand the emotion. Goodison Park was crazy this week. I get that. But you can't have drunken fans around these footballers and their coaches in those numbers. It's just waiting for something bad to happen.
I agree. It's something that's got to be sorted out really quickly. It is illegal to enter the field of play. Like it is a crime. So, but when you get so many numbers, it can't stop it. So how they're going to do that in the future, it's not something we've seen over the last few years. I don't know sure if the pandemic has played any part of this. Everybody's gone crazy. You know, yeah, it has. Yeah. But we've seen it an awful lot. We saw it in Nottingham as well. And some of the Sheffield players were abused, coaches abused, but it is a problem, and they will address it. Absolutely, they're gonna have to come down hard on this situation.
For those who are big soccer fans and have been to MLS but have not been overseas, when I went for the first time, it was surprising that I couldn't take my beer from the concession into my seat. That you're only allowed to drink beer pre-match, right? In the concession stands, the ring around the stadium. Or at halftime, and everyone floods that line at halftime. And I'm like, what's the point of that? I barely get it before I have to go back to my seat. Like, there's not enough time to get the beer and drink it in 12 minutes, but lots of people do. In South America and in any of these major international tournaments, including the European Championships, you cannot buy any alcoholic beer. Do you think in England, maybe this is a step that they will take because it's been effective in other places to deter pitch invasions and other crowd violence?
I think if they did that in England, they would just drink heavier before the match at the pub.
Yeah.
It would still be a gong show. But I think it's culturally different in UK, right? It's different. It's just booze is part of the culture.
Yeah.
And sure, don't drink in your seats, but I think if they try and take it away from the concessions, it's not going to go down well.
No. Well, that's why a lot of the games in big derby matches, they play early, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Early during the day so that the pubs aren't open long. They're in there maybe for an hour and a half. Then they've got to go to the match.
Yeah. An hour and a half, so that, Jimmy. You can do a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to the Tynwer Derby. It was a noon local kickoff.
Yeah.
And we got to the Strawberry for maybe 10:30. I think they were serving at 10:30. Yeah, but
probably.
But it's like what Sachs was saying. You know, if I'm a security guard and I'm there and I'm getting a couple of bucks, you know, one or two guys come onto the pitch. Okay, yeah, we can stop them. But when you got thousands rushing to the pitch, I'm going to be going, yeah, no problem, lads, go ahead. Because if I grab one guy, his buddies are going to start punching me to release him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not willing to get my head kicked in to stop one guy when thousands are going onto the pitch. There's no way. So you could see, even with the matches, you see the security guards just going, yeah, okay, go. See you later. They can't do much. It's not worth it at all.
They're going to have to find the first man in.
Well, they always say in business, the first one through the door gets all the bullets, right?
Yeah.
So you know that they'll try and track that. You know, it's always that slow guy who's trying to run on to the field that, it's super fun to watch at any other game, though. That is, I don't like when they rush at the end of the game. I like when they go on during the game and everyone's cheering when they're, I know, that's just.
So the cameras pan away now, right?
I know. When you're at the field, though, it's sensational to watch.
But, you know, it's the 80s, Erica, her name was. She streaked a couple of times in rugby games.
Oh, that's right.
Her name was Erica. Sure.
Yeah.
And she was famous for it. And she, I mean, this is 1980s. I don't know where I'm going here.
I think there was a woman in the States.
Sharp's got a poster on it on his wall of her.
She wasn't as well kept as perhaps a streaker would be in 2022 is my point.
She wasn't well kept.
No, not as well groomed.
Ah. Oh, yes.
Oh, the pitch.
New York pizza slice.
The turf.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. The turf. Could have been a couple of inches shorter.
Oh, jeez.
No. It didn't promote the champagne football.
On promotion, though.
You're saying City wouldn't be able to play on it?
No, they wouldn't. Yeah. Burnley would have loved it. She may have been the first naked woman I ever saw. Possibly.
So hold on, were you at, this was at Anfield or this was
no,
at
no,
another
No,
ground?
He's at a rugby game, Twickenham.
Oh, rugby, excuse me.
She did it a couple of times. You should Google her. She's actually quite well known in the UK. I don't know what year it was now, I can't remember, but it was a big deal at the time.
I'm a big Cleveland Browns fan, as you guys know. Embarrassingly, I've not yet been to Cleveland, the new stadium, to see the Browns. I know new, it's been around for over 20 years. But I did see the Cleveland Browns in England at Twickenham, and that was incredible. That one of those NFL, you know, special games, they do five a year in London. Now Tottenham Stadium's got them all. But my experience of Twickenham was an NFL experience. Cool ground. Cool place.
Oh, yeah.
How slow is the NFL when you see it live?
Honestly, guys, I think the NFL is the worst live experience.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. It boggles my mind.
Than Jays? Worse than MLB?
Yeah, because in baseball, man, as slow as, like, you might feel baseball is, it actually isn't that slow in between the pitches, and it also is just easy enough to follow. You introduce like all of the commercial breaks in addition to the you know stoppages that just occurred naturally in football, in American football, and it's so poor. Like it's, and I realized that being around a bunch of English who were trying to follow and be as focused as they are in a real football match, where for 45 minutes, and this is the surprising thing, Wonger, like first time I went, I talked last week about that West Ham story, people were getting annoyed that I was like catching up with my buddy. Like no one is talking. They're focused on the match. And if they're speaking, they're speaking only about the match. The second you ask about someone's kids or travels, shut up, mate, watch the game. And in American football, there's just so much time in between. It's impossible not to get lost in that. And then the game seems, you're just constantly, what happened here? Huh? and there's just not enough markings. I really don't think it's as easy or as enjoyable to follow.
That's interesting you say that, because I just learned something. You know, I'm new to this sport as far as watching it, and I realized when I watch, Craig and I are big basketball fans, so are you, Denny. But it's one of these things where I can walk away and go get a glass of water, go to the loo, something like that. But I realize when I have that 46 and a half minutes, I don't want to leave watching a game. Like I feel like I have to stare at, it has to be on the whole time.
A match. I mean,
a match. Yeah. No. That 46 and a half, you know, whatever the penalty or time added, all that kind of stuff. I sit there and I go, okay, I need to clear this 48 minutes for a half. And then I need to clear it on the second part too. So in that 15 minute or 10 minute halftime, I'm like, bathroom, throw the pizza in the oven, you know, all that kind of stuff, because I don't want to miss anything where I feel like, I know with baseball, hockey, and basketball, I feel like I can miss things.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I think there's no sport like it where you basically have commercial free television for 45 minutes straight.
Yeah. NFL was essentially designed around TV as well, wasn't it? That's why it's so overproduced, which is a shame. Because the game in its, you know, rawest form is pretty great. It's just ruined by, like you said, the stoppages, continuous stoppages. Yeah. That's my
head. I do like watching it on TV though.
It's on television. It might be it might be the best product.
On Sundays, I love it. Love sitting there having a beer, watching American football. Really enjoy it.
But they've also they've also done so much on TV though that help you follow. So you're understanding everything and you can isolate, right? Whereas when you're there live, you're watching, you know, a full field. Your attention's on the quarterback. Something's happening this way. You're not consuming and absorbing as much of the game as you are on television. And that's not just with descriptive commentary, but visually, they've made the television product so good. This is what when I say I'm stunned. So many people still will fill 100,000 seat stadiums, 90,000 seat stadiums every single week, season tickets, and as much as they can get, because the television experience for football is so much better.
Well, what they do now, though, to get people in the stands, they do the blackout, don't they?
They've done that for a long time. Yeah, I know that sounds foreign to us here, but in American markets, if it's not a sellout, it's not available locally. Yeah.
So let me ask you one question. You just brought up something really interesting, B. I've been watching DAZN. They have brought new technology. Is there a technology other than VAR, but new stats, things that you guys go, oh, that's really helpful? The percentage thing, like that percentage ratio at the top. Is there anything that they brought on, you know, like football has, and made it really watchable at home or more watchable? Is anything stand out?
Oh, that's a good question.
Boys, because they have introduced things. I don't know if any of those things move the meter for you guys.
The it's not new, but the virtual first down line was always very handy.
Well, that's for football.
He meant
soccer. Yeah.
Oh, soccer.
Real football.
Pretty simple, right? The broadcasts are pretty simple. They haven't changed much.
Well, they have brought in, remember when someone scores, then it'll go, oh, a tie will be this thing, or...
At
the top, like, is there anything that's changed?
I know what you're saying, and in the last, probably since the Premier League rebranded, I think they've been more aware to have more on the screen than just the time and the scoreboard. So, for example, a lot of people us in our industry will wait for halftime to see the match stats, the halftime stats, so we can formulate some type of idea or validate what we already thought, be it possession or shot attempts or whatever it is. And sometimes that board doesn't come up until the start of the second half. Sharms, I don't know if you had this experience too, and you're waiting. You're like, do they not have the numbers? Like, give me the damn numbers. And now they're starting to put that on the scoreboard, like in the match. And they will, you know, there's someone is prompting Peter Drury or whoever the commentator is to make reference to, in the last 9 minutes, Arsenal have had 90% possession here. And I think that's enhanced the viewing, and that's enhanced my understanding when I'm sitting there giving it all 46 minutes. So yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah.
What I find, what really has helped me enjoy soccer far more than ever before is getting the graphic board, expected goals, you know, just changed the way I watch football now. Oh, that they should have scored this number of goals. Perhaps they didn't. Perhaps they scored more.
See,
I know it's important, but what a useless stat for the average fan. I don't care.
It is useless.
I just know it is. Expected.
I think they go over the top with it a little bit too much with the analytics. You know, when you're on the football side and you're coaching, the numbers have got to make sense, right? So if you're at 60% possession opposed to 30, why? Why is this? So you look at it and say, okay, well, they're a team that wants to park the bus. They're waiting for a counter. So you don't expect them to have 80%, right? So
no, the reason being really is you only added up to 90.
Yeah, well, 40. You know what I mean? And the other 10% was in the stands. Ball was out of play.
Yeah, it's interesting. We should get into that one day and look time today, but into stats and Jimmy, you know, as a coach at the CPL level, how much are you given? You know, because I mean, there's obviously a place for them. We're not dinosaurs here, but I think the eye test also gets like criticized and diminished too much as well in this modern era.
You know,
you need both.
Yeah, I was speaking to a few people back in England as well, and they're saying, you know, these guys that are coming in with the analytics, they're killing the game. They're killing the game because the best is the eye. You have to see it and have an understanding of what's going on in the game and why, right? The analytics are great for the fan, and they're going, oh, yeah, well, they got 12 shots and 13% possession, whatever it may be, right? It's good for the fans, but on the football side, and when they start trying to buy players based on analytics, I'm not big on it. You know, with Celtic, I had to go up there with my pro license, and we were sitting down with the scouts. And what they do is they'll have a young guy will go out and he'll scout players. Then what they'll do is they'll come back and they'll look at it. Okay, look at his stats. And then in order to sign that, they have a senior scout who goes and he watches him. And if he watches him and he likes him, they sign him there. So it's always the eye makes the last decision, not the numbers.
Interesting point. Yeah, for those, all of us have seen the players, you know, take their shirts off and they've got what looks like a sports bra, right? That bib, that tracking bib, right? Now there's a million. And those numbers that you get from that, the touches, the, you know, how much energy they've exerted in these runs, the miles, all of those things are hugely valuable for you as a coach, I'm sure. When you're evaluating a new player, though, let's say it's someone that comes out to train with you and it's a trial, he's joined the team.
Yeah.
How much are you looking at those numbers to evaluate the player beyond what you've seen in that session? Like if the numbers that you saw are off the charts, would you look at them first?
No.
Would you want to see them first?
No. If I bring a player in on trial, I'm watching him. Mm-hmm. I'm watching every movement that he's doing. Off the ball, on the ball, where is he? Is his head moving? Can he read the game? Mm-hmm. The ball's on one side, where is he? How's his positional sense? The analytics don't tell you that. You know, I'll tell you a story too, right? I was playing at Norwich one time. And I was playing left midfield. We had, I think it was Damian Francis and Yusuf Safri were in the middle of the park. Damian Francis was a left-sided player, right? So the game was the prior game, right? The ball was coming out to my side a lot because the central midfielder, we're playing a team that pressed us an awful lot. So every time he was getting pressed, he goes on to his comfort foot, left foot out to me. We were gone, okay? Then following game, I think it was Phil Mulryan and Yusuf Safri, the two center midfielders, who were both right-footed. And every time they were under pressure, it was more comfortable for them to turn to the right and go at the other side. Well, after the match, I have this analytics guy coming, oh, your numbers aren't good. You weren't involved in the game much. And then the manager just looked at it and he had a go at me. So he pulled me in the office. And then I went in and sat down with him and said, well, let's have a chat here. We went through the game clip and he went, Jesus Christ. He goes, you're right. You're right. He goes, they have the tendency to go out the right side all the time. And he goes, the prior game, he goes, I had a left-footed central midfielder. And his tendencies come out the left side, which links up my left back and my left winger more. So what I'm saying is the stats that you get, it's always a why. Okay, why is this happening? And that was the reason.
Yeah.
But he gave me a bollocking right after the game.
Mm-hmm. But the stats can cloud things. So good point. Sure, okay, so we were talking about a player who didn't have a tape. Let's say the player had one of these printouts, right? One of his catapults from a game.
Yeah.
And then you were going to see him later. Would you want to look at that sheet before at all to have any type of, you know, idea of the player? Or would you rather just see him, wait and see him, and then the numbers matter less?
I prefer to see him. So, like, do you mean, like, if he's playing in another league and he comes to me on trial and I've got his past data?
Yeah, if you had the opportunity, not to see him, but to see his numbers, to see a printout, to see just how this guy is involved in a game, but without having seen him. Would you want to know that first or not?
No. You want to know where he's played, how many games he's played, you know, if he's a striker, how many goals he's played.
No, those are details. But right. I mean, specifically,
but that's the details that you look for. His numbers, I couldn't give a shit you know, on the pitch, how many times he's touched the ball, because every league is different. It's completely different. So his numbers got to, it's what he does with the ball. So when you see him in training, you'll get a very good understanding of how he plays and how he links up and what his game is all about. And then obviously as the season goes on, you start looking at the stats and saying, okay, you know, who's done what and how far did you run this game and why did you run that far? And then, but the distance is just always to monitor the players as well, right? You know, if a guy's numbers are through the roof, it's holy shit. Like we got to take care of this guy because he's going to die the next game. Or we got too many games that are back to back. So now we got to take him off and rest him because and we have prime example. We had a young guy, Max Ferrari, when I was at York. The kid just ran like a deer. And we actually had to pull him off a few times and just say, that's enough, man. Your numbers are off the chart.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a hell of a run.
I know there's a column I saw about Liverpool this weekend, that the lab they use to track their players' numbers and how they are getting very good at predicting injuries.
Yeah.
When players are on that line, they've run this hard for this long over either 90 minutes or over the course of the season, and they've got now data to back it up. Now you have to take some games off now. It's load management, essentially, is what it is, right?
Well, that's important, the load management. Absolutely. I agree with all that. Yeah, 100%. That's important.
I would have hated to have a catapult on me because I used to like to hide in games. You know, keep that ball away from me as long as possible, right? So
there's no hiding now.
No, there is no hiding now, right? You see some stats we've seen over the years. We've seen certain strikers running less than their goalkeeper. I've seen that a few times in games. It's hilarious. We should find out who they were because there's some pretty funny ones there. Guys, we should get to... this final weekend of the season, it's going to be a great one. You know, there's still lots to fight for. Everton's safe. We know that. Relegation, though, between Leeds, Burnley, Spurs and Arsenal for top four and, of course, the first overall. What is each of you, pick one storyline that you're most interested in entering this season. Craig, let's start with you.
This season or this weekend?
This weekend, yeah, sorry.
This weekend? Well, I'm always a big fan of the relegation system, so it's just as exciting or more exciting for me at the bottom of the table and who survives, who stays up. And we got two left. You got Burnley and Leeds, and who's going down? Goal differential is separating them at this present moment. Leeds go to Brentford, and what's the other game? Burnley are at home to Newcastle.
Yeah.
So... Leeds have to get something.
Opponents, and obviously you hope at this point in the year the opponents have the integrity, right, to put in a good performance too. I know that's what Lampard said that actually, because they're playing Arsenal. And he goes, we've got one game left. I want to go there and enjoy it at the same time, you know, realize how important it is for both Spurs and Arsenal and put in a good performance. But you understand why Brentford, for example, who have finished way higher than anyone would have given them credit, might take the final game off.
Yeah, you could. You could see that potentially happening, but I've watched Brentford over the last few weeks and I keep thinking they're going to take the foot off the pedal, and they have not. They've really, really put in a shift every time they've gone on the pitch, so I don't think that's going to be any different this weekend. That's why it's a really difficult one to pick.
Yeah.
Desperation doesn't always make it better and give you an advantage, as we've seen before.
Yeah, and you notice like two sacks with the managers, your last game of the season, so always finish off on a high. Get a good result, 3 points, off you go into the sunset for the summer. But, you know,
Jimmy, that last game, they say, you know, end the season on a high so you can enter the summer with a smile on your face. Does it really make a difference to you whether you win 3-0 or lose 3-0?
Well, it does. Yeah, you want to win. You want to win the last game. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Of course you do. It's always important. And I can't see any of the teams lying over. There's no way. Unless Brentford decides to make crazy changes and get some young guys in and give them a few minutes. But
yeah. And they're at home too. You're in front of your own supporters. You never want to lose. Yeah.
Does Jesse Marsh survive if Leeds go down, do you think?
Ooh, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one. It's hard to say, right? Because I think they've backed him because they see someone that has a philosophy and a way of thinking that, you know, is different than what they've been used to. And we also see that Leeds is a club that really values that, right? So I think they back him, to be honest. I think he's impressed enough there. And I feel like the performances and, a bit of the bump that they had, like he's deserving to be, you know, in the top flight or certainly in the second division.
I fancy them to stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. I think it's going to be a. I think it'll be a great match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Leeds will be going down there with a lot of fans too. That place will be rocking. Yeah, they got good fans.
All right, B, what's your one storyline from this weekend you're most looking forward to?
I want to see Steven Gerrard win the Premier League title. Because if you look at if you look at the lineup that he fielded for Aston Villa against Burnley on Thursday, he's absolutely looking to be the 12th man to help Liverpool win the Premier League by taking care of City at the weekend. And I honestly think that Villa's going to give them hell. That is going to be Villa's final. I think that he's drilled that into them, and I think that there's a lot of players also looking to solidify their place and to still kind of prove themselves. This is going to be a huge, huge summer for Aston Villa. We talk about Newcastle and all the money they're going to spend, and Newcastle will spend more money. But there's going to be a huge overhaul this first season at Aston Villa. I think everyone in that room has a reason to play, and I think he's galvanized all of them to burn City in this final match and have an impact on the title.
3-0 City.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. I understand. He'd never say it, but you know, obviously, Stevie G would love to, you know, hand a gift to Liverpool. But I don't see his players using that as motivation. Do you? They want to impress their gaffer, obviously.
I just compounded.
Oh, well, our gaffer used to play for Liverpool, so we better play really hard.
But I just explained that they all have their own individual things, and he's found this one thing to unite them. And yeah, they can press him if it matters as much, if they're truly going to play for the guy. And I think they have. I think he's proven to be incredibly likable.
Outweigh talent in this one. Just wanting to win for your gaffer is more important than Man City, maybe the greatest team we've ever seen.
There's been quite a few matches where Aston Villa's effort has been questioned. This will not be one. Whether they lose 3-0 or not, this will not be one. And for me, just seeing that the team sheet, his starting 11, the changes that he made against Burnley, he's looking ahead to Sunday because Sunday is his final and Villa's final.
As you continue this way of thinking, I'm thinking that could be 5-0 City.
Yeah, I could see that.
That with 3-0, 5-6.
Can I just say this one more Aston Villa thing? So I went to the pub to join the Toronto Aston Villa Supporters Club, the Toronto Lions. It's the first time I've been since the pandemic. And they're a great group. I've been for years before. And they do this meetup every year. One of the host supporters clubs hosts all the other North American supporters clubs. So there was about 100 people at the WeChief on Thursday to watch Burnley from Memphis, from New York, from San Francisco, from Milwaukee, from Colorado. It was incredible. Columbus. It was really incredible and special to see that, you know, it's been a horrible couple of years for a lot of people. Football really has brought so many people together. And I know how much it was meant for the Toronto Lions to put this on because they were supposed to do it in 2020. So it's really special. They got a whole weekend. They're going to take over the Jays game tonight. They've got 90 people in one section in the outfield. Now they've got 90 people going to the Jays game. You know, so it'll be a Claret and Blue Jays night.
That is cool. Do you think that they'll be chanting Villa? That'd be amazing.
The Americans are going in full kit. They're trying to rope me in to join them, full kit wanker.
That is cool, actually. That's great. Nice. I love hearing that kind of thing, actually. You know, within North America, these supporters of certain clubs getting together. It's great. Imagine, though, if Columbus was hosting it. Like, shit. Got to go to Columbus now. At least Toronto's got something to it, right?
Did you miss any cities there, Dunlop?
I missed a bunch of cities, yeah.
Because after 25, I was starting to drift off there.
you know what? I think they said there's 25 states represented and six provinces. And then there was a couple overseas clubs. Kidderminster was there. Had a couple people come out. So that was really cool.
Jimmy, he's just about to name them all. He had a few more to go there. 25.
I got a couple out of them.
Nunavut. We got Missouri. We got Hawaii came in.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy.
Oh, there was a group from Tegucigalpa.
Apart from watching Villa beat City this weekend, what are you thinking?
Okay. Here's where I am. I mean, obviously, we talked about the Prem, the big games, but I think Serie A needs to be mentioned here with AC Milan and Inter. That's going to be a wicked weekend. Inter's got Sampdoria, and Milan's got Sassuolo. So that's going to be a very good Sunday in Italy to see who the champion of Serie A is going to be and who's going to be the kings of Milan.
And in the Maltese League.
Yeah, we have Bosch is up there. They're going to be going for it.
Big Bosch, eh? A big Bosch guy. But on this point, Jimmy Brennan, you're wearing a Pescara shirt.
Yes, I am.
What's the reason for this today?
Well, this was, you know, not many people know this, but when I was younger, I came close to signing with Pescara.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, before I went to England.
Please tell this story.
I was over there playing with Woodbridge. We went over for a tournament, and they liked what they saw.
Of course they did.
And, you know, there was talks, would I be interested in coming back and training? But I was already going to England. Wow. And then I was going to the Under-17 World Cup as well. So I left, and I never actually went back.
Do you think, had you have joined Pescara, you would be sitting here right now where you are on this podcast in 2022?
No, I would have long hair. I'd probably be on a beach somewhere with a thong, eating bowls of pasta.
You'd be living in Malta.
Eating like a king. Yeah. It was amazing, though. I loved it. I loved Italy's amazing. What a place.
Oh, I love Italy. Yeah, absolutely.
Great country. The football's great. And back then, the football was unbelievable as well in the 90s. Yeah,
would have been.
It was unbelievable.
Was Pescara still then?
Yeah, they were back then.
They were, Serie A.
Wow. Yeah. I know Dietz had some great stories from his time at Samp. He wasn't there for long, but some great stories nonetheless.
And Lecce. Yeah.
Well, Wongo, do you have anything you want to think about, you know, for this weekend? Anything?
You know what? My big thing is,
you want to follow?
I do. It's the fourth, fifth place. 68 points, 66 points between Spurs and the Gunners. I have to say, man, this is the most exciting thing for me. I know Crystal Palace almost kicked Everton out. What do they have left? But I'm really interested to see, you know, Arsenal and Everton and then Spurs. I think they're playing Norwich. And it's like, God, this could, who's got the tiebreaker in that fourth place? Does anybody know?
There's still one? Differential, right?
Yeah. Question, actually. No one knows. All right. Well, thank you for the expertise.
No one's there at computer, so.
North Star Bets. Thank you.
I'm staying with Spurs. I think this is not the story, obviously, but the Golden Boot race is really interesting entering the final weekend. Salah on 22. He's a goal up on Sonny. He's four up on CR7. And listen, all joking aside, it's just the kind of thing that CR7 would do, would score five goals in the last game and then win the Golden Boot. But you can get Sonny at plus 150, and he's one goal behind. He's on fire right now. And Harry Kane said they'll do whatever they possibly can to get him that Golden Boot. So it's interesting, if nothing else. But obviously, points are more important for Spurs this weekend, but they get a couple of early ones. Why not? Does anyone deserve it more than him?
No, honestly, I think he's just been exceptional. And we've talked all the time. He flies under the radar, it seems. It seems he just doesn't get the, you know, kind of mainstream attention that a player of his ilk deserves. And if he's a Golden Boot winner, it'll be unavoidable now.
Yeah, he's a legend. Do you know, my local convenience store is a Korean guy that owns it, and he's the biggest Sun fan you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
He's got the jersey on all the time. Tottenham's always playing.
Yeah.
He's a
there's a joke there, right?
I was in there the other day. I had to grab something. I ended up sitting there with him for about half an hour in his convenience shop watching the Tottenham game.
That's great. All right, boys. Let's bring in some footy picks, shall we? We'll roll in the music right now.
It's footy picks.
On footy prime. You slime.
Let's try something different this week, boys. Rather than the usual, just who you got, who's going to win, right? I want to ask you all, I posed this to you yesterday, to pick a bet that you might find interesting. Whether you've done your homework, that remains to be seen. I'm sure Dunlop has. I'm sure Wonga has. The other two, we'll wait and see.
Saw that coming a mile away.
All right, B, what bet is jumping out at you this weekend?
Okay, so I think that there's some real value here. I'm going to go, can I go off the board since you made us do this differently?
Wherever you want.
I'm going wherever outside of England here, okay?
All right.
But I think... Yeah, outside of England. So Real Madrid obviously have nothing to play for. Real Betis have been a very special team this year. And I think when they come up against the big teams, they always put on an effort. So even though this doesn't have the meaning that it may have at another point in the season, I think plus 350 is an easy draw play. Real Madrid,
plus
Real Betis.
Plus 350, absolutely.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
All right, Wilner, what you got?
Mine is going back to the Spurs. It's a 3.5 over-under. They're playing Norwich. I think it's going to be like 4-2. It's going to be a wide open game. To your point, I think Sun actually pots a few. And for 3.5, I know that it's a goal higher than normal. But against Norwich, I think they can really dominate.
They're going to pitch him 5 mil, pays plus 2,000. Oh, it's Norwich. It's Norwich. They're going to just roll over. That's the one team that might roll over. Right? They're done. They're all the upheaval at that club.
Yeah.
I'll stay with Spurs too. Sun, 2 goals or more, plays plus 700.
Hmm.
2 goals or more against Norwich? That's interesting, isn't it?
Hmm.
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah, why not? All right. All right,
for great. $10? For sure.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put $10 in it, but
50 cents.
Maybe.
2 quarters, please, sir.
Craig, have you finished frantically researching?
Oh, yeah, I got it covered.
Hitting northstarbets.ca and just what you got?
Yeah, Burnley-Newcastle is a game I like, and I like the under on that. It's 2.5 is the over-under. I think it's going to be a tight affair with very few goals. And it's hard to pick a prediction as who's going to win that game because of these situations in the relegation battle and teams that are safe. But I think it's pretty safe to say it'll be under 2.5.
It's going to feel like a final, that. Yeah. Can I add one thing that I forgot to mention about Real Betis there and why that game stood out to me when you sent that text is they're playing for fourth. It's they're 3 points back of Sevilla, so they need Sevilla to lose to Athletic Bilbao. But they're level on goal differential. So I think that Betis is going to go for it, but I don't think they got enough to win it. So, again, the draw.
All right.
And very Seattle, good. Jimmy. I forgot Seattle. The Villa Supporters Club of Seattle on full display.
29.
Jimmy, do you have one?
Yeah, I do. I'm going with Leeds and Brentford. Is it 2.5 for the over?
The total is 2.5, yeah.
And I think Leeds will win that match. And I think it'll be a 2-1 or 3-1 to Leeds.
That's
where my money's going to be going.
It's a good parlay. But
thank you.
Is that in Brentford or Leeds? I forget, sorry.
It's at Brentford.
Is that Brentford, right? Okay. So there won't be a pitch invasion. In all likelihood.
Although it is 2022, there might be a pitch invasion. Someone might glue themselves to the post. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. All right, fellas. Well, thank you very much for this. Anything else you want to add before we say farewell?
Just like to thank Dante Anderson, VP Marketing at Northstar Bets and Northstar Bets in general for sponsoring this podcast.
Have a safe holiday weekend, you primers.
But we don't take holidays. We're back this Sunday/Monday, and we'll recap all that happens on Sunday. And I hope you enjoyed that. Please follow us. Please like us. Tell your friends. Tell your family and keep buying newspapers. Cheers for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.